Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
And I don't look at it that way as far as the word power. That's not anything that I even think about. It's really just, you know, trying to do my job as the head coach. My number one job is to coach, and I can, you know, what I can tell the fans is that we have a group of guys that are working really hard to get better every single day, and, you know, we feel like we've definitely improved, and we're excited about the future.
It's Bill O'Brien talking about power. He don't care about power. Not a big deal to Bill O'Brien. Is that power increasing? We shall see. There's still a lot of season left, John. There's still a lot of offseason left. Romeo Crennel, you fired. John Pagano, you fired. And now Chris Olsen is fired, which means the Texans could be paving the way for a new general manager to overlook Bill O'Brien and everybody else, John Lopez.
Look, oh, by the way, let's pay off the tease on the thing that John McClain put out real quick. I just had a revelation about that. And you're right. You predicted this. You were talking about priorities in the offseason, and we've been talking about today how important it is to get the right guy in there to negotiate. I think it's the biggest offseason of negotiations in the entire franchise history. I know Andre had some negotiations. You can go back to obviously JJ had the big contract, but those were no-brainers. It was just a matter of finally getting to the number. This is a monumental contract that you're going to have to offer Deshaun Watson. It is a contract negotiation that is going to be where you're going to be at a severe disadvantage with Laremy Tunsil because you gave it 2 first-round picks and didn't have the contract agreement in line. Then there's Zach Cunningham, who's going to be negotiated with this offseason. He had what I felt was an all-pro year, but even if it wasn't called that, he was that good. And then you have DJ Ritt.
What?
Hold on. From John McClain's column this morning, the Texans hope to sign quarterback Deshaun Watson, left tackle Laremy Tunsil, and inside linebacker Zach Cunningham to extensions. They're expected to be active in free agency as well. The Texans are. There is a name missing there. And that name is the one that you said they could move on from. And I think it's buyer beware there, man. I mean, or seller beware there.
I think DJ has to go, man. And this is the whole thing. I understand what DJ did. And I understand DJ Reader was a very, very good part of this defense. But sometimes you have to let good players go. And that's just the reality of the NFL.
Sure.
Good players in the salary cap era, you have to let them go. And I think they made their decision in regards to DJ Reader when they gave Whitney Mercilus that extension. Mm-hmm. I think if you would have told me
it was one of
which
the other
I would rather get done, I would have gone with Reader instead of Whitney Mercilus and hoped that Duke Ejiofor or other guys came in and evolved and helped the outside linebackers. But they made their decision there, and you have to let them go sometimes. You have to let good players go. Saw it with the Patriots this year. They let Trey Flowers walk, and Trey Flowers walked away despite being a huge part of Super Bowl teams with the New England Patriots, and they let him walk. I know that DJ, ideally in a perfect world, would be back next year, but sometimes that's just the cost of doing business. You have to let good players walk, and I think that's DJ Reader's going to be that one guy that they let walk.
It makes the defensive line look a little bit – well, not a little. It makes the defensive line all of a sudden – pretty iffy, depending on J.J. Watt's health, of course. But, I mean, who's going to be there? Carlos Dunn? I mean, what's going to be your answer on the defensive line? And I know they're going to have opportunities themselves to go out and sign people, maybe at a better price. But, nevertheless, it's going to – D.J. Reader is Mr. Automatic in there.
Did you just combine Carlos Watkins and Brandon Dunn?
Carlos Watkins is what I meant.
Maybe if we could combine those two, you would have a –
Then you would,
right?
Maybe I did that on purpose.
You might be all right if you could just combine those two guys. Nick Caserio.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Caserio is going to be a name that's going to come up the next few months. His contract expires in May that could end up as the shot caller for the Houston Texans. We know that they've liked him for a long time. An interesting fact about Nick Caserio, outside of being Bill Belichick's right-hand man, he was actually in the headset when Bill O'Brien was calling plays. So maybe that's something to keep in mind with the New England Patriots. Maybe that's something to keep in mind when we talk about finding a football guy to oversee Bill O'Brien and potentially improving the offense. Maybe a guy like a Nick Caserio who has the headset on, you know, with Tom Brady since he's been there, and a guy who's been in charge of football operations since he was with the Patriots. Maybe that's a guy that can kill two birds with one stone and would satisfy me. I think Nick Caserio, if you tell me that the Texans are going to hire Nick Caserio in 3 months, I'm satisfied. I'm 100% satisfied, because I'm telling you this, and I don't care what John McClain says. I don't care what Albert Breer says. I don't care what Ian Rappaport says. I don't care what any freaking media type says. If Nick Caserio comes here, his shelf life is longer than Bill O'Brien's. He's not connected to Bill O'Brien. When you bring in a guy like a Nick Caserio to be your general manager, if Bill O'Brien fails and the Texans have a season where they don't take that next step, Nick Caserio is going to make the tough decision, and he's going to be looking for a new head coach. I don't care what anybody says. They'll say that they're aligned at the time, but if Nick Caserio is here, his shelf life, his wiggle room, and the decisions that he makes are above Bill O'Brien's, period. Like, you're not going to fire both of them. Nick Caserio, if he comes here in May, John, that is the guy. He can sit here and you can listen to whatever you want, but it's his organization. He is the football guy if Nick Caserio comes here. Bill O'Brien ain't going to tell Nick Caserio what to do. I promise you. That is not going
to
happen.
Come on, man.
He's not.
Come on.
He's not.
You just fall off the turnip truck?
He's not. I mean, he's absolutely not. Nick Caserio is not going to.
You're too smart for this.
He's not going to leave New England.
I mean, you're not book smart. We know that.
He's not.
But you're a smart dude.
He's not. My street smarts are through the roof. He is not going to leave New England and come here and completely 100% latch on to Bill O'Brien. He's not dumb. He knows what's going
on. Bill O'Brien calls the shots.
He does
Bill
right
O'Brien
now.
But there's no it all.
But there's no
he
Nick Caserio.
He controls the organization.
But there's no Nick Caserio.
He is building a coup, so to speak, in this organization. Bill O'Brien is not going to stand there after, you know, not getting along with Rick Smith or Brian Gain and say, "Yeah, sure, bring in another boss." I won't argue that at all. The problem with the Texans right now and giving Bill O'Brien this much leverage and power is you can't all of a sudden hedge on that. You're either giving him the power to run the football organization and we're going to ride or die with Bill O'Brien, or you're going to compromise again and be back where you were with Rick Smith. No, if Nick Caserio comes in, it's going to be under the presumption that he is either on equal footing or answering
you're
to
crazy.
Bill O'Brien.
You're absolutely crazy.
It shouldn't be that way.
I don't believe that.
No.
I don't believe that.
I believe it should be the way you laid out.
I don't believe that.
But that's the way it is.
I don't believe that. With someone with that resume, with that much skins on the wall, and based on what we've seen, and we have a 6-year sample size of Bill O'Brien, if you do get a guy like Nick Caserio to come here, given the fact that he's been in game plan meetings with Tom Brady, given the fact that he wore the headset on game days, first of all, I think he could be a valuable resource to Bill O'Brien. But make no mistake
about
it.
Well, he could be that.
Nick Caserio comes here. Nick Caserio is the guy. Now, if you hire another GM or something like that, some jamoke that I've never heard of, he might answer to Bill O'Brien. But Cal McNair's not dumb. Like, Cal McNair's a smart guy. Look, man, Cal McNair has had to write extra checks for general managers because they couldn't get along with Bill O'Brien. You're telling me that when Cal McNair, and obviously his father was a big part of it, mm-hmm. You're telling me that when these guys, when these guys make this type of decision, and when these guys bring in a guy like a Nick Caserio, they're going to want to write checks again for GMs not to work for him? Hell to the
no. Well,
no,
they're going to work. It's going to be a glorified scout. It's going to be someone who can maybe take some of the many things on Bill O'Brien's plate off, someone who can negotiate because Chris Olsen is gone, someone who can work the salary cap now that Chris Olsen is gone. If you weren't listening earlier, I just can't emphasize enough how big of a loss this Chris Olsen thing is. So Caserio,
not if you have a GM coming in who has his own guy,
or is the guy, you know, in terms of negotiation.
So I'm sure Caserio has an idea of who he wants to negotiate.
Or that's going to be his job when he's working for Bill O'Brien. And I think that would be what I would absolutely consider to be the favorite in the clubhouse, so to speak.
I think it's Nick Caserio is the scenario. That was the theme last year. I think Nick Caserio is the scenario to where if you want to have the false hope, which John Lopez says I have, this guy is going to be king, this guy is going to be football king, and he's going to dethrone B.O.B., I think that's a possibility with Caserio. And if you want to be more realistic, John, I think a guy that could improve Bill O'Brien as maybe a football guy and a play caller, a guy who does and provides the services that Nick Caserio does, I think he can realistically provide that. So I think that I think it's either for guys like me that are dreaming maybe a little bit too much, Casario's the right guy. And for guys like you that are realistic, that think this guy's going to come in and work with Bill O'Brien, I think given all the skills that Nick Caserio has, I think he would satisfy both parties. I think he would satisfy the OG and myself. So regardless of how you feel, Nick Caserio is the guy that could come here and fix
all
things.
All I'm saying is, you know, you've made it clear over the last year that you're given the keys to the organization and the voice of the organization and the public, you know, persona of the organization to one guy. And that guy's Bill O'Brien. You've given it all.
You
to him.
Have.
So you're not going to
have.
But you're not going to hedge on that now.
Yeah, you would hedge on
because
it.
Because he spent all this.
It's not a hedge.
Time.
It's a save the day.
No, because he spent all his time trying to accumulate all this power by ousting. No. You know, people that he considered
a
threat.
I'm not sitting here saying Nick Caserio is going to come out here Stone Cold Steve Austin style, drive through there and flip him off and double fist beers and say, F you, Bill O'Brien, kiss my ass.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, at the end of the day, yes, Bill O'Brien can be working with Nick Caserio and they can be going hand in hand and stuff, but Nick Casario's shelf life and the longevity of Nick Caserio is higher than that of Bill O'Brien. They're bringing in Nick Caserio because they think that he can save Bill O'Brien. They're not bringing in Nick Caserio because Bill O'Brien says, well, I want to work with this guy. No, they're going to bring him in, and if Bill O'Brien struggles, and let's say that the Texans don't get where they want to go, then Nick Caserio is going to say, look, Bill, it's been nice working with you, and he's going to bring in the next coach.
I also don't believe that to be true at all. Because at this point, if it's too long for them not to have taken a bigger step than they have already going into your seventh year. So you're saying, let's say it's 2 years, seventh year, we see the same thing. Eighth year, maybe take a step back. So you fire Bill O'Brien. Think Nick Caserio is going to still be here?
This is what we got to understand. This is what you got to understand. And this is what I think people got to understand with this Bill O'Brien power thing. Okay, I'm not making up that they want Nick Caserio. Like before Bill O'Brien became the de facto GM and all that stuff, they tried to get Nick Caserio. They tampered with Nick Caserio and they had to back off. So this isn't like some sort of hypothetical thing I'm throwing out there. They wanted him before. The fact that BOB has all this power, the fact that we hear about this flat organization is a representation of them adjusting after they didn't get Nick Caserio. So I'm not just sitting here making this up. It'd be one thing
but
if I was just...
But it's not a flat organization anymore. I think that's just in name only.
Well, But the organization is where it is, regardless of what it is or isn't, because they didn't get Nick Caserio. That was their first plan. And they can go back to that first plan in April, and they can try to fix things.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like this is like some sort of like, I'm throwing stuff on the wall and it sticks. No, they showed us.
No, they wanted.
They tampered with him.
But
they
keep
wanted
in mind,
him.
That was
but
before
this is
the
an
season.
Adjustment. Where they are right now is an adjustment. And I think that they've basically had to tread water, and Nick Caserio is going to come here, and they're going to get
and then
the plan
be Bill
they originally
O'Brien's
wanted.
Boss.
I don't think so. I think they're going to go back to what they wanted. I think that what this is right now is them basically just trying to make do with the fact they didn't get Caserio.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was Caserio or bust. Let's be honest. It wasn't like it's not like they failed to get Nick Caserio, and then they said, well, you know what? We're going to interview six other GM candidates and see who the right guy is. No. That was the guy they wanted from the very beginning.
And what was...
And this was an adjustment, and now they're going back to their plan A.
And what was...
I'm really onto something here.
No, you're not. And the reason is...
I'm onto it.
And the reason is, what were Bill O'Brien's exact words when he was asked Monday, I think, about the possibility of changing the organizational structure? What did he say?
He said, we're going to keep it the way it
he
is.
Said, no, we're good.
Okay, well, you know what, John? He can't go up there and say... I mean, he can't go up there and say, we're going to get Nick Caserio, who's still under contract with the Patriots.
Yeah, but you can
They've already had tampering charges filed against him. You want Bill O'Brien
but you know
to go
what
up
he
there
could
go,
have said?
You know what? Nick Caserio is going to come here and everything will be fine. No, dude.
Here's the thing.
He has to
he could
say
have said
that.
Something like, we'll take a look at it or something like
well,
that.
Well,
here's
why?
The thing,
he
Figgy.
Can't.
Here's the thing, Figgy. And this should be enlightening to every Texans fan out there. What he should have said as head coach of the Texans in a flat organizational structure is, that's something we're going to discuss and decide. Or that's Cal's call, but I feel like we're good the way it is. No, he independently said, as the czar, as the king of this organization, I think we're good the way we
but
are.
But he didn't want to tip his hand.
But he did, but he could have easily said, we're gonna look at it. Well, you know, I think it's fine.
I think Casario's coming.
He actually proved how much power he has with that comment.
I think Casario's coming, and he's going to satisfy guys like me who think that it's possible that he can be football king. He's going to satisfy guys like you that think that Bill O'Brien needs to have his flaws maximized by somebody else, a guy who has the headset on when plays
are
called.
He might come,
called,
but he's not going to be that.
I think it's possible, and I think either way, we're both going to be satisfied. The realist in John Lopez and the guy that's just sitting here on my knees praying that somebody is going to minimize the power of B.O.B., I think we will both be satisfied if Casario is the guy. 713-572-4610. Let's go to Lamont. Lamont, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, John. Say, man, I got to agree with Landry's. Well, actually, both of you guys are right. I do believe that if Casario was to come, his shelf life would be longer than Bill O'Brien. But a simple fact that we've seen it before in Houston. Coach Kubiak hired Rick Smith. And after 2010, when things had got real salty, they kind of parted ways. And we know what the end game happened after all of that. Rick Smith stayed for about 5 or 6 more years, and Kubiak was out of here. I don't believe that it'll happen right away. I think that Nick Casario would probably still answer to Bill O'Brien, but after he get a taste of Bill O'Brien, after about a good 2 or 3 years, he gonna distance himself from that dude, and Bill O'Brien may be out.
Hey,
man.
Everybody is going to
appreciate
look out
you, Lamont.
For number one. You do, I do, Figgy does. Everyone ultimately.
Damn, dude, I thought we were a team.
We are. But ultimately, if it comes, push comes to shove, you're going to look out for your best interest, your own interest first, right? Family first, your interest first. So I get that. And he may try to do that. And Rick Smith did, in fact, do that. Rick Smith was basically hired by Gary Kubiak. People forget that. You know, Kubiak was brought in first and then Rick Smith. But either way, ultimately, you're going to pull for yourself. But I think the Texans will have learned from that. And how much of a Patriots way can you stomach if it doesn't work? Because Casario is going to be just an extension of the Patriots way. So that's why I think once they cut bait, if they cut bait with Bill O'Brien in this century, then ultimately Casario is going to be joined at the hip with him.
713-572-4610 to get in. I just think he's going to satisfy both of us. I think Casario will be the ultimate thing that will make me feel good. If Casario gets hired in May, then I think that is the hope for the Houston Texans, for the B.O.B. truthers, and for the B.O.B. skeptics. I think Nick Casario would be the scenario. 713-572-4610 to get in. It is Reaction Monday. The Astros, they're continuing to be a polarizing topic in the offseason. And I'm going to provide you, in the spirit of that, I promise you this, John, I'm not overselling this.
Okay.
The worst Astros opinion you will ever hear.
That's bold.
Courtesy
that's bold.
Of our friends at 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. I promise you, you will not ever hear anything dumber than this. That's next. I'm anxious about this. The Astros continue to be the polarizing topic of the offseason in baseball. You got opposing players sounding off. You got Jose Altuve making guarantees over the weekend, and you have the worst opinion that you've ever heard in the history of not only the Astros,
not me,
but maybe in the history of sports. And this is courtesy of our teammates out there at 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. We'll hear that in just a sec. Shout out to Gavin Spittle, the former PD here, and the good work that he's done. You do a good job, but I got to tell you, man. This is beyond dumb. I mean, I don't even know.
Well, you're really selling this.
I don't know how you shape your lips to say something this dumb. It took place on their midday show, the KNC Masterpiece. Brian Broaddus was on the show as well. I'll play that for you in just a sec. But let's listen to Mike Clevenger before we hear this opinion. Mike Clevenger was on an internet series known as Momentum, and I'm assuming that they just get tattoos and have chats. But Mike Clevenger was getting a tattoo and having a chat on this Momentum video, and he and Trevor Bauer, who've been extremely outspoken about the Astros, continue to take shots at the Stros. This is what Mike Clevenger had to say about the Houston Astros.
That's another part that pisses me off. That lineup's talented enough that I think if they just had the due diligence to do the regular baseball, they'd do damage. You have buddies that if they knew what was coming, would be perennial all-stars in the big leagues, dude. There's a lot more that the public doesn't see because you don't see the money being placed. You don't see guys going up and down, literally working their ass off to finally get a glimpse, that literally living off their parents, like taking two different jobs in the off-season. I've had to do that. I've had to live with my mom until I got to the big leagues. And now you're telling me that someone could have potentially shorted my career or sent me back down, made me figure out because they knew what I was throwing when I was in their park? I don't think any of those motherfuckers should be able to look us in the eye. They should feel ashamed. You want to protect the guy next to you, you're going to protect the sanctity of baseball? It's not giving $5 million discipline to a billion-dollar corporation. And while they're still walking around with the same ring on their finger in the same uniform, in the same city, in the same contract, what's that really going to change?
I'm not really an Astros truther, but I'll say this. I don't disagree with anything he said. From his perspective, I'm not someone who sits there and acts like I have to defend everything the Astros did, because the Astros got caught. They got their punishment. They took it on the chin. They deserved it. If I were a pitcher on another team, I would feel exactly like he does. So I want to make that clear before I present this stupid opinion. But I think what Clevenger's saying, I think from his perspective, it has a lot of weight. And I can understand exactly why he feels that way.
Look, he's not wrong. I mean, it hurts to hear sometimes, but and the Astros had their fan fest or whatever it's called over the weekend, and they addressed it in a roundabout way about the way you would
did they
well about the way you would expect them to, and of course completely dispelled the reports about the buzzers and all that because it's absolutely, you know, hard to prove at this point after the MLB didn't find any, quote, credible evidence that there was. So that tells you that someone had told the MLB about the buzzers. There just wasn't credible evidence. So they handled it about the best way they could. But there was a sense of among the Astros, and I wasn't there. I just watched everything of, oh, you'll see. It's no big deal. We're great anyway. But then you have to listen to Clevenger. Because, yeah, you can't be – it's like the steroid thing. You can't be, you know, just some slug, start taking steroids, and all of a sudden become Mark McGwire. You know, you have to be good to get better like that.
Right.
Well, you have to be good to get to the major leagues or on the cusp of the major leagues, and then this is what makes you go over the top and win World Series.
I think part of maintaining credibility in this business is you have to look at it from both perspectives. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, we admit that the Astros did wrong. I think if the Rangers would have done the same thing down 45, I would say the punishment fit as well.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be sitting here calling for them to basically get the death penalty in sports. I think that Clevenger, I think his opinion is 100% valid. I 100% respect what he's saying, and I would feel the same damn way if I were in his shoes. You mentioned the Astros over the weekend, the fan fest. Jose Altuve, he was asked about the allegations. We'll hear those allegations when we play the hits at 11:40. But Altuve, you talked about sticking your chest out a little bit, probably with the jersey on, because we know he doesn't want the jersey ripped off for whatever reason. This is Jose Altuve sticking his chest out and talking about the 2020 season.
Believe me, in the end of the year, everything will be fine. We're going to be in the World Series again. People don't believe it. We will. You know, we will, like we made it last year. We went one game away of winning it all. You know, I'm happy for the Nationals. They won everything. They're a really good team. They deserve it, but we'll be in the World Series again. Maybe with them, maybe with another team.
I can't emphasize this enough.
Wow.
Jose Altuve is beloved. He's cute as a button.
Oh, wow.
He's great.
But? Is there
He's
a butt
an MVP.
Coming?
Yes,
Baby got
a,
back?
There's a big giant
Baby got
butt.
Back?
There's a Lizzo butt coming.
J-Lo butt?
There's a Lizzo.
The woman, not John Lopez.
Yes, exactly. That doesn't mean you didn't cheat.
Yeah, that didn't prove anything.
You didn't prove a damn thing.
They cheated. That's been established.
Yeah, but the way I'm saying, like, kind of like just the way they've approached it. And I can't say I wouldn't do the
We're
same
gonna
thing.
We're going to prove it.
You know, you're embarrassed. You know, you got caught. You lost a manager and a general manager. So, of course, I can't say I wouldn't respond the same way.
Right.
I'm just making clear. Let's not.
If you win the World Series, that doesn't prove.
Like, see there? Y'all were wrong.
Yeah,
no,
it,
they
no.
were right.
It's like
you
it's,
cheated.
It's like me. I cheated on a lot of tests in school. And there were some times where I didn't cheat on the test later on because I felt like I was going to get caught.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I didn't cheat before. If I got an A on the test without cheating, that doesn't mean that I didn't get an A on the test with
exactly
with cheating. Now,
and
I proved that I could do it,
right?
But it's too late. The damage has been done.
And
I still
here's
cheated.
The other thing with Altuve and just the tone of all the players who were speaking this weekend. If you think you're the same team without cheating, why did you cheat? If you think you can get to the same place and do the same things without cheating, why did you cheat? You cheated because you thought it would help you win a World Series. So don't lose sight of that is my point.
Here is, without further ado, I like the fire.
Oh, you really built this up.
On Reaction Monday.
Yeah.
This is the dumbest opinion that you will ever hear, not just about the Astros, but maybe about all of sports. It's courtesy of the KNC Masterpiece. Brian Broaddus, former NFL scout, Super Bowl champ with the Green Bay Packers, was on with the KNC Masterpiece. It's Corey Majors and Kevin Hagelin. They're talented guys. They're nice guys. I respect what they do. But Kevin Hagelin was having a conversation with Brian Broaddus. And I got to tell you, I don't know if he needs to just evaluate his life after this comment or if he just needs to just throw his credibility in the crapper. This is the dumbest opinion
I can't wait for
I have ever heard about not just the Astros, but about baseball. This is Kevin Hagelin of the KNC Masterpiece talking about what punishment the Astros should have had instead of the one they received.
What more would you like?
Okay, the MLB Constitution says the max they could be fined is $5 million.
Which was they did. Which the Constitution is...
And then that's what they did.
That's what they did.
My suggestion would have been you take away all of their home games for the 2020 season. You don't think the other ballparks would gladly welcome that extra revenue? Of course they would. And if the Astros say it's not fair, you're like, okay, well, a lot of things are not fair, and you didn't care about that before. I would accept that as a financial punishment that would... I mean, you're talking about so much money that it would crush somebody to try that again.
Now, you've lost two key pieces of your organization.
And guess what they're about to do? Just rehire different ones.
Are you serious? Like, I get...
I was waiting for a punchline.
I get playing...
He was serious.
I get playing to the audience and stuff. Well, first of all, your GM and manager are important, so they're just going to hire new ones? That's what you could say about any time a coach leaves.
Yeah, they always hire new coaches and managers and general managers.
Lose every home game?
Don't play at home.
No home games. That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Like, I can't even articulate. There could be a better way to articulate it. That's just stupid.
It's stupid.
I don't know if that's just over-the-top pandering or what. But that is just stupid, John.
It's preaching.
Did I oversell that? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard anyone say. Stephen A. Smith, Skip Bayless, all of that. Of all the opinions that you hear on sports, that is the dumbest opinion I've ever heard.
Well, I mean, if you're going to do that, just fold the franchise. Because in essence, you are.
So fans, you can't see your team for 81 games.
Yeah, you're gonna disassociate yourself.
That is ridiculous, dude.
So they supposed to play on the road for how long?
162 games. Are you serious?
So you take on all that, double the expense.
Like, that's got to be one of those things. That's got to be one of those things. I don't like accusing people of this, where you turn off the mic and you have a different opinion. Like, you have right. to. You can't be serious when you say something that dumb. I couldn't shape my lips to say that about Oklahoma, Texas A&M, any of the teams I couldn't even shape my lips to say that. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That is ridiculous to even hear that.
And don't they still make the same amount of money?
Dude, I don't know.
Because of revenue sharing?
No home games. Let's just shut down the juice box for a year.
But they're still making the same amount of money.
Silly.
I mean, concessions and all that, but
that's just really, really strange.
That was pretty bad.
I did not oversell that. 713-572-4610 to get in. Bill O'Brien says the Texans are moving in the right direction, but his actions are telling you different. Plus, the Super Bowl is set, and there was a symbolic punch to the coconuts yesterday, courtesy of a Houston legend playing the hits next. Man, just absolutely crazy. Astros should lose all their home games. I can't believe someone actually said that. Yesterday was tough to watch, John. I didn't think it was going to be that tough.
It really was.
But I woke up in the morning, and the realization that the Texans should be hosting the AFC Championship really hit me hard. And it seemed like it was longer ago. I think the Astros kind of put it in the rear view, and it seemed like it was longer ago. And it was very tough to get up and realize that I was about to watch the Chiefs and the former Oilers meet in the AFC Championship. What made that tougher? And I think a symbol of the current state of apathy in this city was news from Darren Revelle that Mattress Mack, Houston royalty, if there is a Mount Rushmore of Houston royalty currently, Mattress Mack is right there. He was looking. Actually, he made a bet on the Tennessee Titans, $1.5 million, I believe, to win the AFC Championship. Now, whether he won or not, I think is irrelevant. I just think the fact that Mac tweeted out that he was looking for this bet. The fact that he was willing to do that.
Looking for a legal sports book.
The fact that he was willing to do that, though, I think is symbolic of where the Texans currently sit in this city from an apathetic standpoint. Because I want to ask you this. You know Mattress Mack for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
We know how much he loves the Astros. We know how much he represents the Astros. Do you think Mattress Mack would ever, like, let's say that the Astros had a heartbreaking defeat in the ALDS. Do you think Mattress Mack, I don't know his gambling habits, you know, behind the scenes, but do you think that he would ever publicly be looking for a sports book to wager on the Texas Rangers in the ALCS?
Well, let's not even make it that close, all right? I mean, you're right, but let's just say someone like the Dodgers.
Or the Yankees.
That they faced, yeah, in the World Series, et cetera. No, no way in hell he would do that. I think it says a couple of things. Foremost, they're still the former Oilers. You know, they'll always be the former Oilers. And Mattress Mack certainly was here when the Oilers were around. But I think it also says what you're talking about. There's just like, oh, well, you know, a little bit of apathy with the Texans right now. And, boy, I keep going back to that, man. That's it's building. If apathy can build, I know that's kind of counterproductive there, counterintuitive. But if apathy can build, it's building. More and more people are just kind of like shrugging their shoulders at this team. And nobody got upset with him betting on the Titans.
The one move that needs to be made that can either eliminate or minimize the apathy. We'll tell you that in 23 minutes at noon right here on In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. So the Texans did at least make some moves. Bill O'Brien a week ago said this about the Houston Texans and the direction that the organization is moving.
I feel like we're in the right, we're moving in the right direction. I think we did a lot of good things this year. Not enough, obviously. Feel good about, where we're headed.
There's a part of that question that I think really is revealing about what they're doing now, or that answer. Because he was asked about the future of the structure of the organization, right? I think the specific question, I don't know if we have the question, Figgy, but I think the specific question, and I can paraphrase, was more about, do you feel like you're going to bring in anybody else in terms of management, et cetera, or where you are right now? The right answer for a head coach in a flat organizational structure, and I say that in air quotes, would be to say, we're going to talk about that, number one, or that's Cal McNair's call that I'm going to discuss with him, or, you know, that's an approach that we're going to talk about later. But he flat out said, independently, as the monarch, I think we're good where we are. It didn't even come to mind that there are other people who might be involved in this decision. You know why? Because there aren't other people involved in this decision.
Well, the decisions that have been made, John Pagano, outside linebacker coach, gone. Defensive coordinator Romeo Crennel, gone. And cap specialist Chris Olsen, gone. Which leads to the question, are the Texans clearing the way for another general manager? We're getting to that in a little bit. But here was Cal McNair the last time he spoke, 212 days ago after Brian Gain was fired, talking about Chris Olsen, the cap specialist, and what he brings to this organization.
Chris has been great for us for many years. He's highly respected in the NFL and among the agents. His activities really won't change that much, but he'll have a little more leadership within the football admin. And I look forward to working with Chris as I have in the past and will in the future.
And then he's gone. Within, 220 days or whatever you said? He's gone just like that. I can't overstate how big of a loss this is for the Texans.
Well, you know who agrees with you? John McClain. He's going to join us tomorrow. John McClain was – this is the most outspoken I've seen John McClain about a firing.
He's been more and more so, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, Brian Gain got fired. He didn't really say too much. You know, as from an opinion perspective on Brian Gain, you've seen other guys get whacked. You haven't heard that. But the Chris Olsen one seems like it's the one that got John McClain fired up the most.
Yeah.
And I want to know exactly why that is. Why was John McClain so fired up about Chris Olsen being fired? Because normally John McClain plays it, you know, straight down the line, you know, as far as an opinion on
right.
someone getting fired. He talked about how great Chris Olsen was, how pivotal Chris Olsen was, and just how important
Chris
Olsen
was. Well, let
me
read them to you. After Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby fired contract negotiator and cap expert Chris Olsen and outside linebacker John Pagano, blah, 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 Bill O'Brien continues to be the GM without the title. Jack Easterby continues to be the assistant GM without the title. They answer to owner Cal McNair. Do they? That was my ad. O'Brien and Easterby are making lots of changes as expected. And he went on to say that that's going to be big shoes to fill for Chris Olsen. And you know why I think, and as you said, McClain's going to be here tomorrow, so we'll ask him directly. But just in general, anybody who thinks that, I think it's like, how much more of this can you stand without realizing that Bill O'Brien is just doing whatever the hell he wants? And I also think another factor, John McClain knows what I've said repeatedly, and I think you agree. Chris Olsen is the only person in that building who was elite, considered elite by the rest of the league. No one considered Bill O'Brien. Maybe someday. I'm talking about the majority of the league considered Chris Olsen elite at his job, and then he's gone. Can't say that about Bill O'Brien. Can't say that about Easterby. Can't say that about Cal McNair. Can't say that. No one is saying they're elite at what they do except Chris Olsen, and then he's gone. I think that's bothersome to John McClain.
The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. It is Reaction Monday. Romeo Crennel gone. Anthony Weaver is going to be the new defensive coordinator. I like this move. I think Anthony Weaver's got a bright future. I think they needed some new blood there, although I do think that Romeo Crennel was kind of handcuffed when it comes to personnel and J.J. Watt being out 8 weeks. So best of luck to Romeo Crennel. He's had a good career if it's over, 72 years old. And I think Anthony Weaver, I think it was time for Anthony Weaver to take that next step. And I think that Anthony Weaver's got a bright future as a coach. I think there's a possibility that Anthony Weaver could be a head coach one day in the NFL.
I mean, there's a lot to happen between now and then, and he's got a lot of hurdles to overcome. But I do like the move as well. It's just interesting that the move happens. This was very predictable, right? Romeo Crennel would retire or move on, and Anthony Weaver would take over. The unpredictable thing and the inexplicable thing was the Chris Olsen thing and the Pagano thing, that they would be gone as well. So I think it's just like if you cross B.O.B., you're on a short leash. Did you see what Wade Phillips tweeted this morning?
I did not.
Been a rough year for 72-year-old defensive coordinators. I guess he and Romeo are the same, so... they should just retire. I don't know about Wade Phillips, but I think Romeo's ready to retire.
I don't think Wade's going anywhere.
Yeah,
I think Wade will be coaching high school football when he's like 90. I don't think Wade's going anywhere at all. I do not believe that. Championship Sunday, we had to watch it. It was painful for many, but we had to watch it. In the AFC, the Titans, 2:29 remaining in the first quarter. They went for it on 4th-and-2 from the Kansas City 29.
How'd that work out?
They got it. They moved the chains, and they got a first down, which added even more salt to my wounds.
They had a play?
They had a play.
Okay.
They had a play on 4th-and-2.
Okay.
They then had a 9-minute-and-7-second drive that gave them a 10-point lead in the second quarter. Mm-hmm. However, just like the Texans, the Titans blew the lead. They were trailing the Chiefs at 4 at half, and the Chiefs end up winning 35-24, which means they are advancing to the Super Bowl. Here was Chris Clark, or Frank Clark, I should say, after the game, talking about Derrick Henry. He had some bulletin board material for him early in the week. This was him doubling down.
They come in here, he ran for 70 yards. They call him the best rusher in the league. We sit in this home early.
I posted the comments that you said to me, and all over social media, everybody said you better watch your back, that you're saying things that you can't cash. Everybody on social media saying, back.
They must not know who I am yet. They gonna find out sooner or later when I got that ring on my finger. At the end of the day, we champions. AFC, that trophy that got my own and last name on it, that the KC. KC, ain't no fall off. Last year, jump off sides, all that. I told him when I got here, this gonna change. Look at this. We're the best in the world.
Frank Clark.
A little frisky there,
little
Frankie.
Bart Scott there.
He's from Cleveland?
Little Bart Scott there.
Man.
Man, I tell you what, you talk about having that chip on the shoulder. That adds to the Jamesy Hedebow theory that if you're going to win big games,
you're
going to have someone like that.
Did you notice in the TV postgame that our guy Travis Kelce was in Noki mode? He wasn't in on-the-field mode?
That
wasn't him. He was very much in, can you call my mother?
He's a very, very good good player, to say the least.
He likes the attention. Boy, he jumped in on that interview.
But the question was, who would the Chiefs face in the Super Bowl? Would it be the San Francisco 49ers led by third-year head coach Mike Shanahan, the former Houston Texans assistant, or would it be the Green Bay Packers led by first-year head coach Matt LaFleur, also a Houston Texans assistant. The answer to that question was pretty damn clear. San Francisco dominated the game. Jimmy Garoppolo threw just 8 passes.
Can you believe that?
And the 49ers won 37-20. 37-20, threw the ball 8 times the entire game. Mostert with 4 touchdowns.
Dude,
for the 49ers
I was watching
this
him
game.
And I felt, I was like.
Did you have to Wikipedia?
No, I was like, I should know this guy. I should know him a lot more than I do.
Well,
I'd heard the name.
There's a reason that you haven't
heard
him.
Did he have 276 yards for his career?
He had more touchdowns yesterday in the NFC Championship than he did his entire career at Purdue.
Yeah.
Undrafted, and the 49ers win, and now it is the 49ers versus the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Chiefs opened as a pick'em. They then became like a 1-point favorite. So this could be a very, very good Super Bowl. By the way, we talk about the San Francisco 49ers, and we like to localize things because this is Houston, and mm-hmm. this is Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Did you know?
No, oh, don't do it.
That on the San Francisco 49ers coaching staff, the head coach, the defensive coordinator, the O-line coach, the special teams coordinator, the run game coordinator, 2 linebacker coaches, and the equipment manager were all formerly members of the Houston Texans staff.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew that. Their DC looks like he's going to be the next head coach
Saleh.
Somewhere, right?
Robert Saleh.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did his
thing. He was, well, he started out here as like a
intern.
Yeah, kind of an intern.
Intern, then an assistant position coach.
Right.
He'll get his chance. A lot of people wanted him fired last year in San Francisco, I hear, but he's doing his thing. And now it's the San Francisco 49ers versus the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl, which happens a little less than 2 weeks from today. Astros Fan Fest over the weekend. Lance Berkman, the former Astro.
Did you hear him?
I did. We're about to hear him as well. This is Lance Berkman talking about the Astros cheating scandal and the reputation of the organization.
They've been punished, and it's just time to move on and learn from that mistake. And This is a clean organization, though. This is not a dirty organization. This is not a tricky organization. I mean, you know, all these things notwithstanding, this is a great organization, and I think it will continue to be into the future.
Except it was a dirty organization. It absolutely was. Nobody likes it around here. They institutionally cheated. By definition, that is dirty. I don't know. I get what they're saying. Berkman could probably have been a little more.
I don't know what he's talking about.
Enlightening. Yeah. What do you mean they're a clean organization? They're.
I mean, they
the
fired the manager and
not.
GM.
Yeah.
And Jim Crane said it was bad. I don't know what he's talking about.
He also said on his Astros Hall of Fame election. Yeah, I kind of expected it. Did you hear him say that? Berkman, like, yeah, I saw this coming.
Yeah, he deserves it.
He does.
Jose Altuve. There's been a lot of talk about Jose Altuve, the devices under the jersey, all that type of stuff. Who's Jose Altuve on being called a cheater?
You know, you don't want anybody to call you like that. But like I said, you know, I have 2 options. One, just cry, or one, go out there and play the game and performance and help my team. And you know which one I'm going to do.
Yeah, I know what he's going to do. He's going to that's about the right answer. You're not denying that you did it. You're just trying to move on and not talk about it very much. And they won't during the year, but everybody else around them will. And every city they go to will. And it's going to be hanging over this team all year long.
Jose, but what about the electronic device? There's a video that went viral. What about this electronic device that people allege that you were wearing last season?
I wasn't upset, to be honest. Even though it wasn't true. You know, we all know that some people made that up. And like I said, the best thing that happened to me was that MLB investigate that, and, you know, they didn't find something. But at the same time, you know, you can't control everything.
No, you can't control everything. Whether they did or not, at this point, the reputation is out there for them. And
it's
so they're going to have to deal with it.
You got to eat it. Yeah. You earned it. So yeah. The Astros, they deserve it. And because of that, they'll be without Jeff Luhnow and A.J. Hinch. Here is Jose Altuve on having to work for a new manager as well as a new general manager.
Good guys. They, you know, they show up every day to do their job. But like I said, once again, we have to keep going, move forward. We don't have any choices right now.
it really is probably not going to set in like that these two guys, especially Hinch. I mean, forget Luno. He was
damn. That's harsh.
Forget him.
Jeez.
I mean, he's. I'm serious. He was a dirty, dirty, bad dude.
Hmm.
I mean, there's no. I mean, you can argue that, but he was.
Okay.
AJ Hinch was just kind of caught up in the storm and did the wrong thing.
I wish the best for AJ.
I wish he was back. By the way, I guess the hiring. I mean, we might hear about a hiring here in the next day or so. With the Astros, who's going to replace AJ?
Yeah, Dusty Baker in town yesterday.
Dusty Baker's in town, yeah.
So it could be Dusty Baker. Mm-hmm. It looks like Dusty Baker's a strong possibility. I still That's got fine. The Jeff Banister hope. Yeah. Alex Bregman, a lot of swag there. Always talking, always staring at cameras, all that type of stuff. Alex, is the swag still going to exist given the fact that the Astros have somewhat been humbled in the offseason? Are we still going to see that swag from your baseball messiah?
I think just in the 2020 year, our actions will speak louder than our words.
No. No.
Yeah. He can't help himself. He'll still have that
Come
swag.
Come on, Alex.
He'll still have that
Don't
swag.
Let it go. So, Alex, what about these cheating allegations? He was asked this about 9 times. This was his answer.
You know, the commissioner came out with a report. MLB did their report, and the Astros did what they did, meaning they made their decision on what they're going to do. And I have no other thoughts on it.
That was his thoughts, or lack thereof.
Basically saying, yeah, it happened.
Well, what does James Harden think about all this? I know this is exactly the type of questions that you wanted answered right here on Sports Radio 610. Mm-hmm. Before shoot around the other day, before the Rockets lost their third straight of the week last week to the Lakers, James Harden was asked about this Astros scandal.
Yeah, honestly, I don't even know too much in detail about that. I got all individual problems to worry about, and we're not playing so well right now, so I can't even give you no info on it.
So James Harden says he's got his own problems to worry about.
And that's
I don't
fine.
Care.
I don't blame him.
I don't blame him.
You don't want any part of that.
Speaking of those problems, no Anthony Davis, no problem for the Lakers on Saturday. They win 124-115, 31-5-12 for LeBron. Harden with 34 on 8 of 20, shooting Westbrook 35 on 15 of 23. Mm-hmm. They face the Thunder today, 4 p.m. start because of MLK Day. 713-572-4610. Let's go to Pavetex. Pavetex, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? I got a nobody's talking about real quick.
Okay.
Get it, Figgy. What do y'all think? John McClain said last week, I don't know if it was on your show or it was on Seth and Pendergast, but he said that he's outlasted all the coaches that has came through town. I think Bill O'Brien heard that and is beefing up his powers like Thanos. Ooh. And is going after John McClain, guys. Ooh. It's over.
Ooh.
He's going to outlast McClain?
That's his goal?
No, his goal. Won't. No, he won't.
That's his goal.
Remember, we did on the, I think it was on leg hiking, I said Bill O'Brien will still be the coach when John McClain retires, and he did not like hike his leg on that, I believe.
He didn't.
Yeah.
It's good nobody's talking about. There Appreciate you, Pavetex. Shout out to all the loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole. The one thing that can unify disappointed and optimistic Texans fans immediately. Tell you what that is next.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.